right before the spring season was halted due to the pandemic. We had Notre Dame baseball coach Link Jarrett on the program talking about the amazing start to their season. And when the season was halted, the Irish were 11-2, and they had just completed a three-game sweep of North Carolina, a nationally ranked Tar Heel team down in Chapel Hill, and then I believe had beaten Radford in a midweek game, and were still on the road when the season was canceled. And we are very gracious that Link has offered a couple more moments of his time with us here on WSBT Radio. Link, it's Darren. First of all, let me say on behalf of Irish fans, even though it was just a 13-game season, congratulations on the 11-2 season. A great first year for you at the University of Notre Dame. And I guess we're left to wonder what could have happened with this Irish baseball team. But first off, just congratulations on a great start to your tenure.
Well, thank you. It was fun. I mean, we've talked about what our goals were and just implementing our philosophies and thoughts. And you know, you're on the road. I guess we played in five different states. I read that the other day. Never crossed my mind. It's 13 games, five states. And the way, like, each time we walked on the field, it seemed like we started to grasp what we were doing and got a little bit better. And it was fun. And the feeling we had, you know, playing as a team and getting more comfortable with each other, and it was something else. I'm just out here walking on my road, like hard to believe that you're now in the situation you're in, and you went from really competing at a high level to just hoping people are healthy and safe, and our world is scary right now. But honestly, reflecting on what happened, it was remarkable, and you know, the use of the bullpen and the way Tommy Vaughn pitched out of the bullpen and it just completely changed the middle to late part of our games. And Boyle continued to develop and had some really impressive outings. Tommy Sheehan on Friday night, toe-to-toe with anybody. Watching Spencer Myers run the bases and take to our playbook. Like, our playbook is really built for guys like that, you know, and he can capitalize on some of the things we do. And for him to perform the way he did, and Prizman moving the shortstop and absorbing that. The poor guy didn't get to play at all this fall due to an injury. Miller going to second base and loved it. And Brannigan, a freshman, never played third base in his life. Some of the things he did at third base, just remarkable. So Brooks Coetzee in right field, like some of the plays he made at critical moments, North Carolina, UAB, just phenomenal plays. It was really fun, and you don't know what you're about to play. Louisville, and their Friday night guy hasn't lost much in his entire career at Louisville, and you go from trying to figure out a game plan to how can you somehow distract this guy, and maybe it's the short game, maybe it's something on the bases, maybe it's something else, to figure out a way. Like, I was so excited about what that was going to involve on Friday night, and you know, you turn the bus around and everybody's flying home, and that's where we are right now. It's just, when you say unthinkable, I think we use some of these terms like unbelievable, unthinkable, and where we are in our world right now is exactly that, and it's reality. And you know, our dinner blessings revolve around the medical workers and the nurses and doctors that walk into those hospitals every day. And, you know, those are really the folks on the front lines trying to get a handle on this. And the people in the grocery stores that stand there for hours on end as people walk through to buy the essentials. It's like the truckers, like, it's put a new perspective on who is really fighting this pandemic for us. It's remarkable, like, just to transition from thinking about your own team and the performance to how thankful you are for some of the folks that you see every day and are now, you know, on the front lines. Incredible transition.
Yeah. Well said.
Link, you kind of touched on, you were in Louisville when everything really kind of went down. Can you kind of go through exactly where you were, you know, how you found out the season was shut down, and then kind of what happened next after that?
You know, we're in the hotel. You know, we played Radford, and we decided, like, there's some tough nights in our early season travel. Like, you're talking, when you talk 3 a.m., 2 a.m., 4 a.m., it doesn't matter whether you're getting up to leave or you're getting in. Those are some tricky times. And we decided after the Radford game, let's just bust to Louisville, and at least, you know, it'll be Thursday morning at 2 when we get there, but shoot, we can sleep and the guys can get up and we can practice Thursday afternoon and get a light lift in. Because it's spring break. So everything was on track, and it was a late night after a long game. So we were going to Louisville. We were actually going to have a light weightlifting session first, which is a little out of character for us. I like to do the weightlifting after we do our baseball activities, but it just worked out, and our strength coach was with us. So Kyle set up almost like a recovery lift. It was going to be light, and it was also going to be our warm-up component, and then we'd go right out and practice at their field. So it was about, I think we left at 3 to kind of lift. I think we were going to lift at 3:30, and Jenny Borg called me from Jack's office and handed the phone to Jack, and Jack said, "Coach, you know, this is not good. You guys need to hang out at that hotel today." And I said, "Jack, actually, we're on the bus on the way to practice." I said, "You want me to turn this around? I'll turn it around right now." He's like, "Probably should." So we just literally pulled off on an exit and got right back on the highway. And the bus driver knew what I was asking of him. He didn't know why, but, you know, we need to go back to the hotel. So he pulled off, and we went back, and We met in a meeting room, and it was just unusual because at that point you think, okay, we're kind of going to sit tight here for a while, and it so quickly evolved into, "Coach, we need to get these guys on flights. We need to get you back to South Bend." So we spent Thursday night in Louisville. Got up, drove back to South Bend, and Madison in Anthony Travel, right there, basically right there by our baseball office, was able to acquire flights for the guys that needed them, and we had everybody out of there either Saturday or Sunday. I think we had 5 runs to the airport to get the players really exited from South Bend. So they grabbed their essentials. And when we met as a team, after, you know, we got back to campus there, I thought maybe a couple weeks and we would re-engage this thing. You didn't think this was the end of it. And I didn't have exit meetings on purpose. Like, you're not prepared as a coach to have exit meetings when you're expecting to play a series. I wasn't at that point, nor did we know it was actually the end. So by Sunday afternoon, and I really wanted them, if it got to the point where Notre Dame wanted to close campus on Tuesday, I wanted our guys completely out. That exodus needed to occur, really, in my opinion, by Monday, because we're there. It's Friday. We're there. Like, they have nothing else to do but gather up and let's, because I sense something obviously not good was in the works. So that's how that played out. And now it's obviously evolved drastically, even from that poor scenario in the team lounge. It, you know, now you're you do anything to be with your team again and to, you know, tell them what the season meant, and to get yourself into the position we were in, and I mean, really be on the top of the ACC. I know you haven't played a lot, but somebody's going to win and somebody's going to lose, and the standings and rankings are what they are, and I think it hit some of our guys. Like, Coach, we were, like, do you know, we were ranked, like, the best winning percentage in the league. And to be honest with you, I didn't know that. I'm not really thinking that way. So it hit them a little bit that they had accomplished something, even in a small segment of the season, to play that many road games in that short period of time with what we have to do in the preseason to prepare, never be outside, to go play like that. Like, it started to hit them that they did something very unique and special.
Notre Dame baseball coach Link Jarrett, our guest on WSBT Radio. Link, the last time you were on our program, the season was still taking place at that time, and you were talking about the culture change and building the program. Now that the season is over, 11-2, 3-0 in the ACC. By the way, I'm looking forward to buying an ACC championship T-shirt with Notre Dame baseball on it, because you did go 3-0. So I'm going to buy one of those T-shirts. But seriously, how are you going to remember this season with this being your first at Notre Dame, building the culture and having success on the playing field?
Well, I had to really – it starts with your coaching staff, and everybody was new. You know, Rich Wallace, our recruiting coordinator, he was new. We've never coached together. Chuck has been at Notre Dame for 10 years, fantastic pitching coach, but nonetheless, I'd never coached with him. And Scott Wingo, you know, a national champion player, MVP of the College World Series, again, I had never coached with him. And then we went through two directors of operations in 7 months. So the newest one was a player of mine at Greensboro and actually was one of our assistant coaches. So I knew him, but he's not a coach. He's a director of operations. So you think about that group, number one, has to understand everything you're trying to do, and it's a complete overhaul of terminology, of systematic implementation of tactics, and then they have to be able to relay that to the players. And getting 38 or 39 players to understand what you're trying to do with your warm-up routine, your individual segment of practice, your team segment of practice, and all of the things that are in your playbook offensively and defensively, I just look at how my coaches and players absorbed and applied that information. You're talking about, in some cases, that takes a couple years. We're talking about a couple months.
Wow.
So, yeah, and essentially that's what stands out to me, and watching them enjoy seeing it happen in high-level competitive action was really the reason you got into coaching, to see the players perform maybe better than they thought they could, individually and then as a team. And that's what I'll take away. Like, in there, I can go to each guy individually and think of moments that stand out to me. The culmination of that is that the team performed well. So that's what it means to me. It's really how quickly you were able to implement it. And then when you crank it back up, the great thing is you have so many people that have now been through it that you don't have to explain with such great length and detail why you're doing what you're doing. It starts to run itself. I mean, that's when you become a program, as opposed to this year, it was almost a team because we haven't been together long enough to really create the program where kids experience the same tactics multiple years. So that's what I take from it.
Well, and Link, something I just saw yesterday, Baseball America did a poll of college coaches, and they voted you one of the most underrated coaches in the country. So I'm curious what it means to you to kind of get that kind of distinction from your peers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what your peers think of you is probably the most important professional dynamic you have. And I've been in six different leagues, and I guess probably have won the leagues in five of those six. And that's what stands out to me is can you do it in a lot of different areas, not one spot, but can you move around and still end up at the top of your conference? That's what means a lot to me. And you set out every year, the number one, help each kid be the best he can be. And then how do you win the league you're in? That's what stands out. And, it meant a lot to me when somebody sent that to me and I read it. I had never thought that, I guess as you're going through this and trying to do it the right way, and, you know, I fly under the radar a little bit. I'm not on Twitter, and I'm not sending stuff out all the time. I guess you just try to do it right and treat the guys right and coach the game hard. And it really meant a lot when I saw that. Really did.
Link, I just want to ask you about something there's really no answer yet, but the Major League Baseball draft, there's a lot of speculation what could take place. I think there was a storyline it might be cut down to just 5 rounds. Now, I'm just going to ask you in general, because there's a young man in your team that a lot of people thought could be drafted after his junior season, so I'm not asking about him. I'm just speaking in general terms. How can that affect college baseball with Major League Baseball really not sure how they're going to hold the draft this year?
It's a tricky situation. It really is. A lot of this revolves around when they feel like they can get their season going. I'll say that. Mm-hmm. I think they've penciled this in a framework of when it should start, which is the first week of June. I've heard the latest they will have the draft is July 20th. So somewhere in that, I don't know if that's 6 or 7 week window, they're having it. I think they're going to have it. I mean, if it gets past July 20th and they don't feel like they can pull it off, that's a whole nother layer. I don't think we get there. This revolves around the desire of organizations to trim their minor league system. That has been in discussion for 2 years. Mm-hmm. Each team really has 7 to 8 teams within the organization. So the Chicago Cubs have far more than just the Chicago Cubs. I mean, they have obviously the South Bend Cubs. They've got their AAA, their AA. They've got teams in the Dominican Republic. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of players. They've tried to trim that. So I think the timing of this unfortunate pandemic, it ultimately presents a situation where a short draft is going to flow into what they were trying to do with their organization anyway. Now, if they have a 5-round draft, they're still going to have free agent signings. I don't think they've decided on the signing bonus cap for that yet, mm-hmm. but I've heard between $20,000 and $50,000. So, how these clubs decide to utilize on top of the, let's say they have 10 rounds, are some of the players that might have been 11 to 15 round drafts, are they now free agent targets instead of being drafted? You know, Joe Boyle going into this season was really one of the most talented pitchers in the whole draft because mm-hmm. of body size, velocity, performance in the Cape, and projection. Like, part of the draft, it's a talent draft. So when you're projecting talent, it's their job to look 2, 3, 4 years down the road. What do you think this athlete becomes? So, you know, Joe is still in the upper echelon of, even if it's 5 rounds, you know, he's positioned himself well for that scenario. Mm-hmm. But there's many other guys on our team that were also in consideration for this, obviously, but you just don't know how trimming it from 40 to 10 or even 5, like what that does. So in college baseball terms, it really presents a chance for guys to come back that may not have really been back. And it probably makes college baseball better. Mm-hmm. as long as we can get into this and play next year and play the fall and practice and do the things we do, like it probably makes it better. Like if college basketball didn't have the one and done, like you're going to get guys that are back that maybe you didn't expect to have back, which makes the games more competitive or played at a higher level. So whether the guys are happy about that, I think in general the games of college baseball, if you get some of these upper-end older players back, it becomes a more high-level college game, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Link, it sounds like the NCAA is going to be voting pretty soon on the one-time transfer rule. What were your thoughts on that idea before the pandemic, and has this current situation made you feel any differently about the possibility of that?
You know, I've been on these committees. Like, I was one of the 16 coaches last year on some of these panels of, obviously, when you ask me a question, I'm going to give you a little deeper answer than you might want, but we've got plenty of time.
Perfectly fine.
I can walk in the seat. I guess when we're trying to make an attempt to slow recruiting down in all of college athletics, I keep hearing we need to slow it down. We shouldn't have eighth and ninth graders committing. I agree. I 100% agree. So if that's how we feel, opening it up for people to freely transfer doesn't correspond to trying to slow the process down. Because if I make a decision on a player and that player makes a decision to come to Notre Dame or wherever the guy's coming, you know you have a bailout mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're incorrectly applying that if we're trying to slow down recruiting. If we're trying to allow people to make better decisions on where they go, and coaches make a little bit more of a deep dive into the player and how he fits and all of the things that we look for in recruiting. Like, are we really going to then say if it doesn't work out, just go wherever you want? So I disagree with it. And sometimes we flip-flop on our rules. You know, there were years ago when you could transfer, and then we took that away, and now we're going to put it back in as we also try to put in mechanisms to slow recruiting down. So I disagree. This situation right now, if you wanted to allow kids to transfer right now because of the rosters, like this year is different. As a rule, and to put that in as a rule going forward, I don't agree with it. That doesn't mean that it won't pass. But I feel like if we're trying to slow the process down for eighth and ninth graders, then we shouldn't allow them to make a decision knowing they can transfer freely at any time. I think it's a conflict of beliefs.
Great insight right there. Coach, we could spend another 2 hours talking to you, if not more, about the game of baseball, but we don't want to keep you too long. But we thank you for joining us, and again, congratulations on a great season, 11-2, 3-0 in the ACC, and end the season with a 7-game winning streak. So congratulations, Coach. Thank you, as always, for your time, and we look forward to talking baseball with you very, very soon.
Thanks, guys. Stay safe. Thank you.
Thanks,
Link.
You bet.
Thank
you.
Link Jarrett, head coach of the Notre Dame baseball team, joining us on WSBT Radio with some great stories and great insight.